Hello, I'm Jonathan Trainor from the ETD clearing sales team here at UBS. And today we're talking about some news that we've had out of Europe in the last week, where the EU Council and Parliament have reached a long-awaited provisional agreement on EMIR 3.0, including a solid active account requirement. I'm joined today by my colleagues Rob Morby and Charlie Perry from our specialist ETD client consulting team. Welcome to you both. Before we dive into the latest developments, Rob, do you mind giving a brief recap of what the EMIR 3.0 regulation is and the progress made up to now?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. So Brexit saw the UK leave the EU and become a third country, meaning that UK clearinghouses needed to be awarded equivalence in order for those to be used for the OTC clearing mandate under EMIR. Over the years, we've seen the EU grant a series of temporary equivalence decisions for the UK, but they have become increasingly reluctant to extend those further, and the latest extension is set to expire in the middle of 2025. Now, as many of you are aware, the bulk of euro liquidity is cleared in London, and this was one of the factors leading the European Commission to publish its EMIR 3.0 proposal in December 2022, which sought to incentivise clearing on European CCPs, thereby reducing EU firm reliance on non-EU CCPs, such as those in the UK. So there are many aspects to the EMIR 3.0 regulation, but the active account proposal is the most hotly debated, from a clearing perspective at least. This has the potential to change the UK EU clearing landscape, because firms that are subject to mandatory clearing would also be obliged to clear a proportion of that activity, at least in some euro and Polish products, at an EU CCP.
Thanks, Rob. Now we're up to date on the background. What are the latest developments from European legislators in the past week?
So the EU Council and Parliament have reached a provisional agreement on EMIR 3.0. That includes the active account requirement we've both mentioned. Whilst we're not quite at the final stage yet, this agreement does start to give us some significant clues on what the rules might end up looking like in practice. The European Parliament press release that came out confirmed that the active account requirement will be based on the less punitive operational active account with representativeness, which was proposed by the Council in its negotiating position over the course of the last year. However, in the details of that same press release, it's also reported that counterparties subject to the clearing obligation will have to regularly clear at least five trades in each of the most relevant subcategories of derivative contracts, which is an increase over the one trade proposal that was originally put forward by the Council in its negotiating position. It's also worth noting, for those that have been following this closely, you'll know that the Council and the Parliament started the negotiations with quite different positions. So the Parliament proposal was closer to the original European Commission proposal, which had the quantitative threshold, or the more hard proportion, envisaged for clearing in the EU. Whereas the Council was more focused on the concept of certain firms clearing a representative number of trades, and they focused more on the operational readiness conditions. So I guess we could say that the outcome here represents a landing point that's probably somewhat closer to the Council's less ambitious proposal, albeit then with the non-proportional quantitative threshold and a number of associated operational requirements. But either way, we can see both sides compromising on this.
That's interesting. So do we have a sense on timelines at this point? And when do we expect the rules will come into effect?
There's some uncertainty about when the final rules will be published. What we're hearing is that we're probably looking at June at the earliest for the rules to be published in the official journal. That will depend largely on the extent to which the remaining steps of the process are prioritised. So, for example, translating all of the work into the various required European languages. There's also a widely reported backlog of work at the European level. So, I mean, it could be even as late as Q3, possibly even later than that. And as a result of this, we still don't have full clarity on what the application times will be in terms of when firms will actually feel the regulation bite.
Okay, so the timings are still up in the air a bit then. So do we have a sense on how the active account requirement will impact market participants?
Yeah, so we expect the affected contracts to be primarily euro interest rate swaps or STIR ETD contracts such as Euribor ETDs, as well as Polish IRS. But we don't know this for sure, as we haven't actually seen the proposal in detail yet, including exactly which counterparties are going to be subject to the active account requirement and how. So our sense is that this will probably be focused on firms that are subject to mandatory clearing. But there are some questions around how this will be applied in detail. And operational readiness is a key component of this agreement. And that can mean things like the ability to handle transactions at short notice and also other elements that show the account is being effectively used by counterparties. So things like posting IM and VM daily, demonstrating IT connectivity, having operational processes in place, legal documentation and other things like stress testing, etc. And then as to what representative means, as I mentioned earlier, that the Parliament press release noted that there'll be at least five trades of each of the relevant subcategories mandated to clear in the EU. But as to what time period that'll be assessed over, or whether there's going to be any distinction between larger counterparties trading more and smaller counterparties trading less, we just don't have any information or enough information at least to determine this at this point.
That's great. Some fantastic insights there, Rob. Thank you. Charlie, just switching over to you quickly. Are we seeing this impact market liquidity across the in-scope products today? Perhaps let's just focus on in-scope interest rate swap products first.
Sure. So whilst the legislative negotiations have been running in the background, the market has been keeping a keen eye on the liquidity of these products closely. From a cleared interest rate swap perspective, to date, the liquidity impact has been quite muted. LCH remains the primary venue, capturing around 95% of the in-scope European denominated product liquidity, and has actually observed a steady market share increase since 2022. However, we are actually seeing additional markets and CCPs enter the market. For example, BME added euro interest rate swap capabilities in 2023, and more recently, NASDAQ announced it will expand its swap clearing capabilities to include euro products for the first time.
Okay, so it sounds like that's one to watch. And for the short-term interest rate products, what have we seen here?
From an ETD STIR perspective, the story is a little different, and we're seeing new product development there across CME, ICE Futures Europe, and Eurex. As a reminder to listeners, unlike the US LIBOR market mandatory conversion to SOFR, there is no equivalent market mandatory conversion on the horizon for European rates. So following the discontinuation of Eonia in 2022, market participants can select between either Euribor or ESTA. Euribor has been the long-standing contract traded in the futures and options world, with ICE Futures Europe capturing a dominant share of market liquidity. Following the announcement of the EMIR 3 regulation, Eurex relaunched its Euribor suite as part of a broader strategy to become home of the European yield curve. On the other hand, ESTA Futures first launched in 2022 and observed strong volume and open interest growth throughout 2023. CME, ICE Futures Europe, and Eurex have all launched products here.
Yeah, it's interesting on ESTA and the growth that this has seen. I mean, how's the liquidity picture developing here?
So we're seeing a degree of competition across the exchanges and diversification rather than a single primary venue emerging for the ESTA Futures. When looking at the Q4 2023 data, from a volume market share perspective, Eurex is the current leader with approximately 50% of the volume, followed by ICE Futures Europe and then CME. However, when we look at the open interest market share, CME held around 70% of the December open interest, with ICE Futures Europe and Eurex following. Each exchange's offering has its own unique features. For example, CME saw early success as the first exchange to launch ESTA Futures, with Eurex and ICE both launching contracts in 2023. Eurex is offering cross-margining with Euro government bond futures and swaps, whilst ICE, as the incumbent dominant provider on Euribor, is offering the ability to trade the basis between Euribor and ESTA. So really, there are various options for clients to consider.
Well, thanks both for your thoughts on this topic. I mean, it's quite clear that the regulatory change could have broad market impact. Before we close out, Rob, can we get your final thoughts?
Yes. So I think the main point to make before we close is that the active account requirement has been a topic of great industry debate since it was initially proposed towards the end of 2022. We've seen industry bodies push back on the notion of an active account requirement in general. And unfortunately, the latest update from EU legislators has done very little to quell this. So in particular, we see some industry participants questioning how the five trade mandate will impact counterparties who trade large notional sizes on an infrequent basis. So counterparties such as pension funds. If the legislative bodies are listening to these concerns, we may see some small tweaks which end up making quite a big difference. Things such as a de minimis threshold. So it's definitely one for us to keep watching.
Great. Thanks for those final thoughts, Rob. And as you said, it's definitely going to be something that we want to keep watching. Look, thanks to those for listening in and for your time. If you'd like to discuss this topic further or to understand what UK and European clearing options are available to you, please do reach out to your usual UBS sales coverage or ETD client consulting contact. Thanks. Thank you.